Hey, do you want to come over and make a pot of tea, bring your favorite crystals? You know, we could talk about our birth charts, spirits, the latest house spells we've been doing. Welcome to the neighborhood. I'm that witch next door. Hello, my wonderful friend. Welcome to another episode of That Witch Podcast. If you've never been here before, hi, it's nice to meet you. Thanks for stopping by today. I'm Danny, and I'm That Witch Next Door. And today, I am going to be talking to you all about mirror magic. I am very excited to talk about this today because I've referenced mirror magic as kind of like a tip, and I've shared this as an idea to do at certain moon phases and with certain intentions and things like that. And every single time I've brought it up, I've been like, we need to elaborate on this, like put a pin in that. We really need to go back and expand on mirror work because it's big, it's deep, it's intense. It's extremely sacred. It's very ancient. And it is not for the faint-hearted. And we'll elaborate on this, but I would probably go as far as to say I wouldn't recommend this for beginner practitioners as well. However, what I do highly recommend for beginners, intermediate, advanced witches and practitioners of all kinds is learning more about mirrors, mirror lore, mirror history, different types of mirror magic and craft. I think that the more we understand or the more we just try to inform ourselves, I think that the more effective we're able to use this very deep and intense sacred magical tool. And we are going to come up against a lot less obstacles. And mirrors, they don't quite have as rough of a reputation as Ouija boards or spirit boards or pendulums or tarot cards. However, there's still a lot of superstition around mirrors. And while we're going to not necessarily debunk, but we're going to explain our way through some of that superstition today, I very much intend to, along the way, illustrate how important and how powerful this magic is. And that's why it's just, this really isn't for the faint of heart. This isn't for the less experienced practitioner because it requires, in my opinion, to be safe and effective. It requires knowledge and practice of the basics around magical work and ritual work and spirit work much more than other forms and of magic and other types of tools sort of require. And where does this all come from? What is it about mirrors? It's very common for us to believe that it's something about the mirror itself. It's something about the Ouija board itself. It's something about the tarot cards. Because we are such visual, physical creatures, we keep thinking that this has something to do with, you know, the imagery that you're seeing on the tarot cards. It must be something about, you know, I've seen a lot people say, I can't even believe people have pictures, like a picture or decoration of a Ouija board in their house. It's bringing a portal. It's not bringing a portal unless you use it like a portal and you open it up. And most people that are decorating their house, like if you have a Ouija mug or a Ouija board mouse pad, oh, that makes me laugh so hard picturing a Ouija board mouse pad, you guys. Like the mouse is the planchette and you're accidentally conjuring demons. Oh, that's so fucking funny. You can get your Ouija board mouse pad if you want to. I promise you're not going to accidentally conjure demons. Unless that's what you're trying to do with your mouse, then maybe. Oh my God, that's absolutely hilarious. So here's the deal. A tool is still a tool. It depends on how you wield it. We talk about this all the time here in the neighborhood. It's the user. It's the intent behind the tool. It's how it's wielded and how it's used. This is where we can do a lot of good in the world and a lot of profound, powerful, transformational work. And it's where we can also do a lot of damage and do scary things that that feel harmful or maybe even are harmful to us or others. And this is why I really do believe in informed, ethical, safe, magical practices, because I do believe all of this stuff works. I've not only read so many accounts of people throughout our time right now, but also throughout history. And I myself have tons and tons of my own experiences that validate my beliefs. I just believe that when we take it seriously, but we still approach it with, you know, soul autonomy in mind, this is why we can have the laid back, laughing approach to accidentally conjuring a demon with a mouse pad. Because I can talk about those things and I can laugh about those things. I can have these decorations in my home or whatever it is. And because I am constantly maintaining the belief and the inner knowing that I have total autonomy over my soul and my being, all beings do, that I'm protected. It's one of the most fundamental, foundational mindsets to having a very successful and safe and ethical witchcraft practice, because I don't believe that a curse or a hex could take me down. I believe that one could be cast on me. I believe that they have been cast on me. Couple instances where I know for a fact that they were. I also have literally as equally strong, if not a little bit stronger of a belief that I have the power to break that. When I bring my awareness to that penetration of my aura, of my energy, if I am feeling somebody or something entering into my space, it is 100% within my abilities and capabilities. And the beautiful part about this is it actually has nothing to do with your physical abilities as a human being. This is all an internal thing. I have the belief at all times that I'm able to remove anything from my energetic field at any time. I put a lot of weight and sacred divinity in the idea and the concept of ownership and autonomy and soul autonomy. And so I do believe that this is a reason why I'm able to practice those things safely. A very, very big caveat to that. And it's okay, this other side, this other experience that's different than mine is valid and it's okay. If you don't believe that, if you believe deep down that there are beings or entities that can have some kind of ownership or power or rule over you, first of all, I'm not going to be able to convince you otherwise. Your own belief comes from you, and your belief is everything. It's everything when it comes to this work. And so if you go into using a mirror or a spirit board or a pendulum or tarot cards, shit, even an astrology chart, if you go into that believing that evil is waiting for you and might find you and might be there and might take you over, you're instantly projecting out and starting to create that possibility and therefore reality for yourself. So honestly, the cool part about this whole conversation is you could almost make a whole episode out of just this and this theory and kind of debate, like, what is true soul autonomy? How much control do we have over our energetic field? Is it all simply up to perception? I believe that in a lot of ways that it is, because I think that the placebo effect proves this. I think it supports that theory. And so there's a reason why some tools call to you, and there's a reason why some tools, that doesn't feel safe, that doesn't feel right for you, that doesn't resonate. If mirrors are one of those things, that's okay. I still encourage you to learn about them, however. Regardless of how long you've been practicing witchcraft and magic and your experience level, I do think that the more information that we expose ourselves to in different types of magical workings and methodology and tools available to us, I think that nothing bad comes from that. I think it only furthers and expands our understanding. And so no matter how you feel toward mirrors and mirror work, and even if you might feel a little like, this kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies, I'm a little nervous to work with mirrors, or I'm a little nervous to try scrying. I had a really intense mirror experience when I was a child. That's a really common one. I encourage you to stick around. I encourage you to listen and learn a little bit more, because I hope that I can soften up any sharp edges a little bit today. I hope that some kind of fun, accessible, friendly approach to all of this can kind of help take that edge off a little bit, maybe dissipate some of the fear a little bit. But ultimately, what I want to do is I want to spread information. I want you to feel like if you're going to practice something, like you have some kind of foundation of knowledge supporting you going into that new practice. Or if this is something you have dabbled in or tried, again, I want the more information, the better. I really do believe that. And I think that it'll give you an even greater understanding and therefore connection to your mirror and to your mirror work. Now, I'm a Leo rising. I do a lot of mirror work. Ever since I was a kid, I am still this way. I am a person that if my reflection is visible to me somewhere in the room or the space that I'm in, I can't stop staring at myself. Now, this is different for everybody. Some people do that in a very admiring way. Some people stare at themselves in a very self-critical, self-deprecating way. For me, it depends on the day. It depends on the day. But no matter what, if I can see my reflection, it's why I can't watch myself record videos for social media or for YouTube. So right now, if you're watching me on YouTube, I can't see myself. I have to have the camera view hidden away on the computer, or I will hyperfixate on it. And it's hilarious. So what's funny is my daughter, who's a Leo sun, she's the exact same way with seeing herself on camera, seeing herself in reflective surfaces. She cannot look away. It's so funny. And I remember my mom telling me that when I was little, stop looking at yourself in the mirror. I'm trying to talk to you. So for me, in my experience, mirror magic works. We go hand in hand. It made sense from an early time in my rediscovery of witchcraft in this life. I had been doing mirror work without realizing that's what I was doing since I was a very young child in my room. I have been using mirrors and what they can provide and my reflection and all that for a very, very long time. And this is why I think that some people are just very naturally called to it. I think that some people, it's a good fit for them. It's the same way that for some people, astrology just fits and works. For some people, like casting runes, it just fits and works. They just get it. It just naturally fits in with who they are. And mirrors are definitely that for me. And there's a lot of us like this. And that's why I think that the more information that you have about them, the less it seems like this elusive thing that could potentially harm you. And by harm, I guess I mean a couple of things. Oh my goodness. Number one, lots of us have, especially if you're a millennial, but honestly, even generations before that, and who knows, maybe generations after that, you'll have to let me know. We grew up with our own version of mirror lore and stories and things that you could do. And so a lot of us played Bloody Mary in the mirror. We played Candyman. I definitely played both of those. We'd scare the shit out of ourselves. And quite honestly, that was the point. Was to scare the shit out of ourselves. I did read that Bloody Mary is pretty old. It's a pretty old, what do you even call that? Activity? Is this an activity that people do? You know, it's an old game, and originally where it came from was girls, usually teenage girls, would look in the mirror, and there was, when I was researching it, there were all different kinds of ways. Some of them, it said you had to be a staircase leading up, there couldn't be any lights at the top of the staircase, and you had to be holding a candle, and the mirror had to show you a staircase behind you. Very often, in general, the idea is it needs to be dark, only one candle or one light, or it has to be completely dark, and then you turn on the light. Like, all of this is very kind of common thread. And some of the original versions of the game, the whole point was that it would show a woman her future husband, or if her future was doomed to be a spinster the rest of her life. It eventually turned into this figure, this scary figure that would, Bloody Mary in some versions would tell you your future. In other versions, she would show you how you were going to die. When I was a kid, we believed, what did we say? We believed that Bloody Mary would show up, but I think that if she showed up with if she showed you dead, like you were really going to die. There was something, I can't remember it right now, but there was something where if a certain thing happened, you would die or disappear into the mirror. And it was like a crapshoot. I remember that. It was like, you probably will be safe, but you might not. And the hilarious part is the shit that we would make up to scare each other. But we told that lie like it was, I mean, the color of our eyes. I mean, we died on that hill. And I remember one of my friends telling me that she knew a girl at her daycare, I think, who played Bloody Mary in the bathroom at the daycare and disappeared and no one ever found her again. And we were, I don't know, we were probably 8 or 9 years old. And when I tell you, friend, that I believed this, I mean, I fucking believed. I believed that to a ridiculous age. And the only reason I kind of accidentally believed it for so long is like it took me recalling the memory as probably a teenager and going, there is no fucking way that happened. There's no way that a little girl at a daycare facility played Bloody Mary and disappeared and no one ever found her from the bathroom ever again. And it was funny because I remember telling my friend, I'm like, do you remember telling us this? And all of us laughing about the shit that we would make up to each other to scare each other and to scare ourselves and to just make the vibe spooky. And it was the same thing with light as a feather, stiff as a board, like, we would do this because it sounded cool, but deep down it was to have something like spooky or scary or paranormal happen. And so if you grew up with this kind of spooky, scary relationship around a mirror, first and foremost, we have to bring that out into the forefront. We need to make ourselves aware of that. Whatever we show up to at the mirror with is going to be reflected back at us. That is why mirror work is so intense and so powerful and so important. If you show up with a bunch of unhealed trauma, with a bunch of triggers and projections that are running rampant because you don't do any inner work and you don't do any shadow work and you don't do any practicing in embracing your darkness and embracing your fears and facing those wounds. And this is a very, very important piece, I believe personally, for any kind of magical workings. I really do believe that. I think that any ritual, any spell is never going to hit its real full potential or bring in really what we're calling if we're not doing some kind of inner journey, if we're not doing some kind of inner work, because our shadows are going to be there and because we're so avoidant of them, they're going to come in and cloud everything up, usually without us even realizing it, because that is the mystery of our subconscious. And this is exactly what will show up in a mirror for us. Some people see these things. Some people will, you know, their projections and their shadows will show up in the form of shadowy, scary figures. There's a reason. There is a reason for any of my paranormal fans out there that read various stories and experiences from people. There is a reason why, like, one of the strongest, most common threads throughout these experiences, throughout time, regardless of geolocation or culture or background, there's a reason why very often a person plagued by a demonic being or some type of poltergeist spirit or some type of malevolent, malignant being, why these people are usually in one of, if not the darkest place they've ever been in their personal lives as well. Very often they're going through something extremely deep, dark, harmful, traumatic, damaging. They've just experienced a tragedy or they are in the middle of it. They are somebody who experienced years of horrific, violent abuse and there hasn't been any type of healing or therapeutic work there at all. These wounds, these shadows, these triggers, these traumas, these memories, these events, these things stay with us. They imprint themselves on our energy through our emotion and through how we experienced the event itself, and we carry them with us and they form into our shadows. I did not realize this was going to turn into a mini shadow work crash course, but here we are. It's important context for this. This stuff is going to project outside of yourself into your environment around you to get your attention. That's why. It's to get your attention so that we can integrate our shadow, so we can face our fears, so we can face our wounds in spite of them. Ultimately, the goal here is self-conceptualization, self-actualization, self-acceptance of whole self. This is holistic self-acceptance. That's what shadow work is a part of. Because your mirror reflects this crystal clear image of you in this life, whether you realize it or not, you're not just perceiving your physical body in the mirror, you are also perceiving your ethereal body. You're also perceiving your astral body. I don't know that your soul leaves your body and leaps into the mirror. And we'll talk about that I'll explain that in 1 second. I don't know that I believe that as our ancient ancestors did. I do believe, however, that because our astral body, our ethereal body, our physical body, because our soul body, we're all of those things are connected to us. I do believe that when we look into a mirror or a reflective surface, all of those things are reflected back at us, and we are able to see those things. We are able to perceive those things, even if we can't see them with our human eyes, with our human perception. So where does this come from? Let's talk a little bit about where the spookies around mirrors come from. I did some historical research on mirrors that I think helps provide some really, really, really helpful context here. So first of all, mirrors, as we know them and the way that they are now manufactured, that methodology for developing mirrors was credited with being invented by in 1835 by Justus von Liebig. This was a German scientist who created and developed the modern, what's called the silvered glass mirror method. And essentially, it's using this chemical compound of silvering over a glass surface. And because of this, it creates an extremely straight and smooth surface and is what creates such a crystal clear reflection in the result of the product. Now, mirrors themselves have been being used, as far as we know, in documented history as old as 8,000 years old. It's very, very likely that we used what was around us in our environment to perceive our reflection for a long fucking time, for a long time. It could be, and I would be very comfortable believing that this is something we've done and worked with is our reflection for much longer than just 8,000 years. We do have evidence of mirrors that were made from obsidian in Anatolia, which is south central modern Turkey. They were made from obsidian, which I think is really, really cool. It's one of my favorite crystals. And I was like, oh yeah, obsidian, that would make a reflective. It's very glass-like. This is as far back as approximately 6,000 BCE. I mean, that's crazy to think about. But then when you say that, I'm like, there's no way those were the first. Maybe those were some of our first, earliest manufactured mirrors. But what if those were just the first ones that we've been able to find and excavate? Maybe we've been making mirrors much longer than that. And then, like I said, I think it's very plausible to believe that we were using maybe streams and bodies of water, but different things in our natural environment to look at and perceive our reflection for a very long time. Now, for an extremely long time throughout human history, humans believed that the soul projected outside of the physical body and formed the reflection. And that's how this reflection took place. There is definitely a much more scientific explanation for why we're able to see our reflection in a reflective surface and what's causing that to happen. What I do believe, even if I don't believe that our soul projects out of our body and forms the reflection, what I do believe is that you can perceive your soul. You are perceiving your soul body. You're perceiving your astral body. You're perceiving your ethereal body. And you might not be able to see that, but you are experiencing it. You are perceiving it. It is there being reflected back at you. Today's episode is brought to you by Sister Yarrow, one of my favorite handmade clothing, home goods, and accessories companies located in the heart of the Rocky Mountains. Created by one of my dear friends, owner and artist, Madeline Greason, Sister Yarrow connects you to both earth and spirit by bringing you handmade, one-of-a-kind pieces inspired by nature and all things magic. Now, this autumn, Sister Yarrow's most recent collection is called the Earth Seasons Collection. It is a mixture of earrings, necklaces, and accessories, and more that primarily focus on beautiful mixed metals, crystals, and other minerals with an emphasis on simplistic, gorgeous bohemian designs. Now, in addition to their newest collection, Sister Yarrow also offers a wide variety of products like sun catchers and mobiles. I have a couple in my home and they are a favorite of myself and my daughter. They cast little rainbows across the room. We've got home goods, candles, crystals, clothing, and more. And listeners of That Witch Podcast also get an exclusive discount on sisteryarrow.com. Simply use the code THATWITCH10 to receive 10% off your entire order. Go to sisteryarrow.com. Make sure you subscribe to their email newsletter so you never miss their newest collection, newest products, or exclusive discounts and sales. And make sure you use code THATWITCH10 to receive 10% off your entire order at sisteryarrow.com. We have to be honest with ourselves about what we're bringing to the mirror. That's the most important information I can give you before you embark on or continue embarking on your own mirror magic and your own mirror craft. You have to be honest with yourself about what you're bringing to that mirror that is inevitably going to be reflected back at you. I personally make a point not to do mirror magic when I'm feeling some type of way. If we try to ignore those things or avoid those parts of ourselves and we do show up to the mirror with them, this is how we can expand on the very things that we're running the most from. Especially when it comes to parts of ourselves we've been avoiding. It's kind of like your shadows take that opportunity to really be seen. Like, you've been avoiding me this much. When you show up to the mirror, I'm going to make sure you see me. And I believe this is why we can have, like, within a couple of days of each other, we can have these moments of looking in the mirror and just really enjoying what we see reflected back at us. And why it could even be several hours later. It could be in a different mirror, in a different place. And all of a sudden we're like, oh, I don't like that. And I used to just write it off to, oh, it's just the lighting or whatever. It makes my hair look bad or it makes my skin tone look bad. And maybe that's contributing to it too. And I would venture to say, maybe there's something in the air. Maybe there's something about the way your energy and your ethereal body interacts with the energy of the space that you're in. Maybe, and this can happen in the same mirror. This can happen in my very same bathroom mirror in the same day. Our energy can always be shifting. And so this is why I do think that the mirror is, nothing can hide. Like, it will make itself known. It will make itself seen. And that's why this isn't for the faint of heart. You have to be willing to look at yourself, your whole self, every part of it. So probably one of my biggest tips in addition to getting honest with yourself about if you're going to go to the mirror, you need to be honest with yourself about what you're bringing with you. What I would add on to that would be if you are choosing, yep, I can do that. I can be honest with myself and I'll recognize that when I show up to the mirror. Okay, well then the next step is you have to be willing to keep loving yourself and accepting yourself, choosing yourself, no matter what you see and what's shown to you. You can't just finally reveal yourself to yourself and then abandon and run away, just like has very likely been done to you by other people that didn't accept parts of you. You can't do that same rejection to yourself. I mean, you can. But what do you think would happen if you were using a mirror for sacred work and it put you into a place of self-criticism and self-deprecation? What do you think might be some of the ripple effects from that ritual? So it's not just about being honest with yourself, like, I'll be fine with what I see. Okay. And you also have to be willing to still accept yourself. That's another kind of building block of basic shadow work. Because you kind of have to make the same agreement for yourself when you do any kind of inner healing work and any kind of shadow work. You have to be willing to stay by your side and you can't abandon yourself. Otherwise, you're kind of just doing very counterproductive. It's damaging. It's not healing. It's opposite type of work. So I get honest with myself about when it's a good time for mirror work and when it's not a good time. And there are plenty of times where I'm like, this is totally normally something I would do, is like repeat this affirmation or this prayer to myself in the mirror. And I'm not in the right place for that today. And that's okay. All right. That's okay. Now, I mentioned scrying. Scrying is the use of a mirror or a reflective surface for divination, for channeling messages, whether that's for the future or just for further insight. Divination doesn't always have to mean you're trying to predict the future. It's essentially just channeling spiritual messages and information. Scrying is a very, very effective tool and practice for this because it's so visual. It's very easy to lose yourself in the practice. And this can be really effective, especially for people that have a hard time kind of getting into a trance or getting into a meditative space. A mirror can really, really help that. I also would recommend, another caveat there, I would also recommend that a person doing any kind of scrying, doing any kind of mirror work, is somebody who is well-versed in protection magic, cleansing magic, and grounding practices. You have to have a pretty solid anchor. This is very similar to astral projection basics. You need to become well seasoned in grounding yourself in this present moment and coming back to this life, coming back to the here and the now, and not going so far, letting your ethereal tether like wander so far that you get lost. And so that's another reason I say that this type of work isn't for the faint of heart or for the beginner, because if you already have trouble just remembering to ground when you need to ground, and that's okay. It's a practice. We all have to build that practice and that habit for ourselves. Or if you struggle with remembering to regularly cleanse your energy or the objects and the space around you, mirror magic is not for you yet, I would say. You want to be somebody who does this regularly, has confidence in those practices, has not just confidence in doing them, but in the result of those things. If you feel like grounding doesn't work very well for you yet, that's because you're still practicing and strengthening that skill for yourself. So I would wait. I would kind of put that off working with a mirror. But If you do feel called to this work, if you do feel like, yeah, I know my basics, like I know my grounding, my cleansing and my protecting, and I'm ready to see the truth and I'm ready to see clear, and I'm definitely committing to loving and accepting myself no matter what is reflected back at me in that mirror, then I would say that your next step is choose your mirror wisely. And just make sure that you are regularly cleansing and charging it. This is not really a tool you want to necessarily forget to cleanse before you use it. Again, because of that reflective aspect, whatever is there is going to reflect back. And so remember that the practice of cleansing an object before using it for magical workings is not just to cleanse the object itself, but it also is cleansing your energy. It's getting a nice, fresh reset. It's bringing your awareness and focus very present, very current, so that you can be very intentional with what you are doing in that moment with that tool. And I personally love using mirrors in all kinds of ways. I use it in the brightest light in the bathroom or the middle of the day, but there is something to be said for that dark, or looking into a mirror and everything is dark except for one candle or one small light kind of off to the side. A scrying mirror usually is black glass. It can be made of obsidian, but you can also paint a mirror with a nice glossy black paint and make your own scrying mirror. Some people will also use a dark bowl of water, and the water becomes a reflective surface, especially if it's in a dark room where you only have kind of one light or one candle off to the side. It really kind of creates that mirror effect in the water. And essentially all you're doing with scrying is you're gazing into the mirror to achieve a meditative state or a trance, and you're allowing images to come through. For some people, it's more of a somatic experience and like a sensation throughout the body. But for a lot of people, it is a very, very visual practice. And it's shapes and words and images that you're seeing and that you're perceiving. For some people, it just in general, it kind of heightens and awakens their clairs or their psychic abilities. And so it opens up, if you're a clairaudient, maybe even doing mirror work, even if it's not very visual for you, it might still open up your clairaudience abilities and your skills and allow some messages to stream through. I also use mirror work in just a very standard standing, looking at myself and speaking to myself. So probably my most common use with a mirror is speaking affirmations and prayers to myself, because it really, really helps me anchor into the words that I'm saying if I'm looking at myself. So that's why it's very powerful for me. It's why I believe in this work, and it's why I recommend it. I don't want it to sound scary and make people want to avoid it. It's tremendously transformative work. It really has been an integral part of my own inner healing journey, is using my mirror in that healing practice for myself. I just don't want it to be taken so lightly, because it is reflecting every part of you back at you. And you deserve to know that and understand that and be prepared for that. So much strength and confidence comes from simply having more information, from simply understanding and just being a little bit more prepared. And that's exactly the purpose of this episode, is so that you realize that it is very sacred. It is very ancient, powerful work that you're doing when you work with your reflection in a mirror. And it doesn't have to be feared or branded as dark magic. It's not like opening up a portal or whatever by accident. I would say that as long as you use a lot of these points as a guide, you will be walking into your mirror work with a nicely stocked tool bag. You could walk into that pretty confidently as long as you, let's kind of recap here, as long as you keep in mind that you need to be honest with yourself about what you're bringing to the mirror that day and what you're carrying in your energy and whether or not it really is a good time, if you're in the right space for that or not. Number two, the next step after that would be, are you willing to stay committed to yourself and not abandon yourself regardless of what is reflected back at you in that mirror? And I would definitely be somebody, number three, who is very comfortable with their grounding, cleansing, and protection practices. And I would also add to that, you need to be somebody who is practicing regular shadow work, some kind of inner healing journey, some type of self-reflective practice that you already do for yourself. It makes the world of a difference. So I hope that this provides you with some context around mirrors. And if this is something that gets you really excited and you just want to learn more about it, I did put some links in the show notes for some of the sources that I found. I even found a new podcast that I really like, which is awesome, which is called Fabulous Folklore with Icy. And it is this really, really great great podcast from a witch out in, I'm trying to go to the main page and I'm sorry, I'm not very good at using Spotify here. But the host, Icy, is a badass witch that I learned a lot from her spells and scrying. It's called Mirrors and Magic, Mythology and Folklore. And it provided a lot of jumping off point for me to continue exploring and learning. So I will link her show as well as some of the other resources that I was reading. If that's something that you want to continue learning for yourself, is like the history and the background and the lore behind mirrors. Don't be afraid of this tool, especially if it's one that's calling to you. But don't show up to it empty-handed and uninformed either. If you have any questions about this type of work, I would love to help you out, especially if you have any experiences that you want to share with me or you want to share with the neighborhood and on the show, get any clarity about for yourself. We would love to hear that and share that with you. So don't hesitate to reach out. But I'm excited for you. This is really cool, transformative work. And I hope that this episode kind of ripples out into maybe stamping out some of the unnecessary fear around mirrors and gets us to just treat it with respect and reverence, which is what it deserves. It's a really powerful tool. So thank you, my neighbor, for your time today and every day. You are a very, very important, special part of our community here, and it means so much to me that I get to connect with you every week. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. I hope you get to have a fun weekend. And make sure, of course, that you stay safe and stay magical out there. What is That Witch School? Well, it's kind of my twist on Patreon. See, for as little as $5 a month, you can get instant access to our entire back catalog of incredible bonus content, like bonus episodes, witchy lessons, a ton of astrology resources, guest teachings, and so much more. But I didn't want to just keep the magic going in between episodes with bonus content. I wanted to keep the learning going. And I wanted to keep the community going. So I also offered tiers that opened up opportunity for continued intentional, magical academic learning as well as opportunity for creating community with like-minded witchy individuals. For just $30 a month, you can get full, complete access to everything inside That Witch School, including our exclusive members-only social media platform on Mighty Networks, where right now, witches and energy practitioners and students just like you are all learning, working together, sharing together, and supporting each other week in and week out. We talk about the show, we share dreams that we've had, we share each other's tarot readings, and ultimately, we support each other as magical beings in a very anti-magical world. You can join us today at thatwitchnextdoor.com/enroll to learn more and start your enrollment today.